Department. Still offering quality flooring and remnants, and now all kinds of rentals, too. Tanner's Carpet, 329 Commercial. KBOE, live and local, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. 8:27 into a Friday morning in time for our monthly program, What's in Outdoors with Phil Totten. Brought to you by our good friends at Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50. If Blue Stem does not have it, it probably is not around. That's how that works. And Express Tire and Auto, John and Jenny and the exceptional crew at Express Tire and Auto take great care of you on East 12th near the Water Tower. Phil Totten joins us now from Council Grove. Phil, good morning. How are you? How are things on the water there?
Well, I'll tell you, it's I'm not on the water. I was thinking about it yesterday, but when that weather came in, I thought better of staying off that water. But I'm here at Studio North. I'm doing great. I'm awake. I'm up. You talk about being blessed. At my age, that is a blessing. You know, it could be bad weather out there, but that's why the Lord give us a house.
Well, you're a winner, Phil. You're a winner.
Sometimes I think about Rodney Dangerfield and, you know, getting some respect. I asked Ginger this morning, and I was up before the birds were up. Well, the Canada Goose beat me out to my bird feeding station because I saw his tracks in the snow, and we do have some snow out here. But I said, Ginger, if I'm not back in the house in 15 minutes, come and get me. She said, I know where you're at. I can look out the window and make a phone call. I said, well, you know, something like that, time is important. Ron, I mentioned, you know, ever since I've been doing the show from Studio North and my wild space area and watching the birds, and I am happy to report I still have six quail coming to the bird feeder here. They have been able to evade the Cooper's hawk and the other critters that come in through here. But I am concerned about our wild turkey population. I talk to a lot of biologists, and I talk to people down in Texas and Oklahoma. And I've always mentioned I'm concerned about the nest predators, the raccoons and possums, and there is a decline in the turkey population. I know several winters ago, especially when I was living in Emporia, I would go out to Melbourne Lake, and those winter flocks had 200 to 300 birds. Now you're lucky to see a winter flock that might have 40. So on my radar, I had a group called Turkeys for Tomorrow come on, and they are boots on the ground group that are doing some fantastic things. So I asked their co-chairman of the board, Ron Jolly, to join us and just let us know a little bit more about the world of turkey. So good morning, Ron. How you doing?
Hey, Phil. How are you, sir?
Well, like I said, I'm up. I'm getting ready to roll. We got a big weekend with the St. Pat's celebration down in Emporia. And it's white out now, but I know Main Street tomorrow at 1 o'clock is going to be green. And they do a lot of good things for us and what we do. So, Ron, if you will, tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you get involved with trying to help to save the turkey?
Well, I got involved in the outdoor industry in the mid to late 80s, 86, so with a company called Primos. And I was a producer for some of those that very early Primos Truth Series tapes. And I started turkey hunting when I was a little boy. My dad couldn't hear very well and I could. And he'd always make me go with him to see if we could hear one, because where I grew up in Northeast Louisiana, there just weren't many turkeys in the early 60s. And so, as time progressed, my career moved from Primos to, we started our company, Jolly's Outdoor Visions, and did contract work for other companies producing videos and television. And but turkeys were always a big part of my life. I hunted them, I videoed them, and I've always just had a deep respect for the beauty and the life that turkeys live, because I don't think everybody, everything likes to eat a wild turkey, especially when they're little. So the odds are stacked against them from the get-go. And as turkey hunting has become more popular and all the work that the state agencies did and other NGOs that spread them all across this country to what we call the glory days of the, you know, the late 90s and early 2000s, when it seems like there was a turkey under every bush.
Yes, sir.
Things have changed, and it kind of went unnoticed, I think. And we, a group of my friends and I, got together in 2020 and just had a round table discussion about it, and that, how are the turkeys in your area? And to a man, it was concerned. So the natural progression was, the following year we met again and we formed a 501c3, which is Turkeys for Tomorrow, and here we are today. And we're trying to fight that battle, and I hope there's a lot of support in your area for it, because it's not just in the Southeast as was originally advertised. It's all across this country. And we'll get into that a little more. I can tell you some statistics that will absolutely blow your mind that this research is revealing. And so that's my life calling right now, is to make sure that turkeys don't go the way of the bobwhite quail.
Yes, sir. I'm happy to report in Kansas, though, the quail are coming back a little bit. Now, our pheasant populations are really low, but with the turkey and Kansas, when I was a kid growing up, we never had turkey. I know turkey, like antelope and some of the other critters, were native to Kansas, but through restoration and everything, they came back, and they came back in big numbers. I had my old peach dog out of bird hunting one time, and Dad, my father was from Kellington, Alabama, and he was a bird dog man. He wasn't a waterfowl man. He didn't like this cold weather. But, yeah, I grew up hunting upland game birds, pheasants, and quail. Well, mostly quail, because at the time, until we started getting our reservoirs in Kansas, we never had that very many pheasants in eastern Kansas. But I was hunting. My old peach dog got on scent, and, boy, by the time I thought a covey quail would be coming up, there was nothing. So she got to tracking and trailing and tracking, and then finally just locked down where her eyes looked like about to pop out of her head. And I thought, well, them birds don't come up now. And a big old tom turkey come up out of there. And me and the dog both broke and run. We never had seen anything like that. And you mentioned your first hunt. Of course, Kansas back then, they had a way you could hunt turkeys with your dogs. But I never had been involved with a traditional hunt, you know, getting up and seeing the birds, calling them off the roost, and they come down in there, and that big thunderous gobble you hear early in the morning. I'm getting chills up my spine now, Ron, just thinking about it. And that is something that I do want families to enjoy and kids to get out and see. So if you will, tell us a little bit more about your mission with Turkeys for Tomorrow, and especially an emphasis on trying to help control the nest predators that take so many of our quail or songbirds that nest on the ground.
Okay. Our mission is solely to reverse the downward spiral of wild turkeys across the United States. And to do that, we're supporting research projects right now in four states, and plan to expand that into two more states this year. Those states are Iowa and Kansas. The reason that six states doesn't sound like much, but in 2021, when we incorporated, our goal was to be in five states with five research projects in 5 years. Well, we're going into our third year now, and we have seven research projects in four states. So the popularity or the support has been somewhat overwhelming. I think hunters across this country realize that we have an issue, and they're very willing to support an effort to try to reverse that downward trend. It was obvious last night in Auburn, Alabama, we held a banquet fundraiser, and it was just heartwarming to see hunters turn out and spend their money and know that that money is going to the cause of trying to fix this issue.
Yes, sir.
Now, as far as the nest predators, there is speculation on both sides of that issue, and I want to say up front that I love raccoons and I love all wildlife. I was a competition coon dog guy for a lot of years of my life, but now the pelts and there's no pressure on them and everybody's feeding deer and the predator population has really exploded. So we offer on our website we offer dog-proof traps. They're manufactured by a company out of Iowa called No BS Traps and Lures, and we offer them at cost because we think that done at the proper time ahead of the nesting season, you can knock back that predator population a little bit and give those hens a better opportunity to raise poults. So that's the whole deal. If you don't raise poults, what's the future of anything, you know? So we've been very successful with that and bringing awareness to the fact that predators are a part of the problem. They are not the entire problem. Habitat is another huge problem.
Yes,
especially
sir.
Especially poult rearing habitat. So we're doing research on that and trying to bring the awareness up with urban sprawl and all the, for instance, in Tennessee, we're working with Dr. Craig Harper and the University of Tennessee there, and they had just wrapped up a 5-year study in 5 counties there. And one of the things that was a question mark was, were we killing dominant toms too early in the season before they could breed the hens? So going into the 4th year of that study, those 5 counties got the state moved those seasons back 2 weeks. And so far, that's not shown any difference. But what has come to light is that they will tell you, Dr. Harper will readily tell you, that mammalian predators are the number one detriment to poult recruitment.
Ron, if you will, hang on as long as you get you back. I know you're going to be coming up to Kansas April, I think it's 14th and 15th, and you are hooked up with another group that's going to put some new life in what was once our governor's one-shot turkey hunt. And so now with coming up here, I'm going to try to make connections with you, and I want to talk about your podcast. I did get a chance to go through your Facebook page and see some of the things you're offering, and boy, it looks like a tremendous sight. Well, let us go to that first break. We'll be right back with you, sir.
You are tuned in to What's in Outdoors, KVOE Live and Local. Back with more after this.
Get your yard and garden spring ready with great savings at Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply. If it's time to retire that old tiller, Bluestem has just the deals you need on Troy-built tillers to tackle the job. You'll save big on lawn care products from Scotts, Roundup, and Ortho. Find everything you need from sprayers and pruners to seeders and hoses. They've been helping bring your lawn back to life for over 60 years at Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
Warmer weather will be here before we know it. Is your ATV ready? Hi, this is Jenny from Express Tire and Auto. Whether you are preparing for a group ride or burning pasture, it's a good time to schedule your ATV for maintenance before the busy spring season. Avoid costly breakdowns and scheduling delays. Contact us today to book your service. Call 620-343-9994. Express Tire, your authorized Polaris dealer. Open Monday through Friday till 5:30 and Saturdays to noon.
KVOE Live and Local. Good morning on a Friday. It is 8:41. You are tuned in to What's in Outdoors. KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. Back to Phil Totten and more of What's in Outdoors. Phil? Oh, there you are. There you go, Phil.
Listeners, we've got Mr. Ron Jolly with Turkeys for Tomorrow on the show. And if you have any questions on turkeys and decline, please call in at the KVOE hotline. It's 620-342-5863 because this man is a wealth of information and just a very good guy to talk to. And he's bringing some things to light to me on on turkey management that I see related to some other things that they're trying to do to make a better, oh, what I want to say, resource to hunt. But we're really interested in bringing back the turkey numbers in Kansas. And Ron, going to your site, it has some podcasts on it. And I see you guys do have those boots on the ground, and just trying to get hold of you was a chore for me. So I know you're staying busy. So tell us what, if we go to your Facebook site or just where we can go to see just what the work you all doing, and then tell us how you got involved with the Kansas One-Shot Turkey Hunt.
Yes, sir. Anybody interested in what's happening with turkeys for tomorrow can go to turkeysfortomorrow.org. That's our website. And you'll see the events and the store and the news page and all the things that are happening. We were approached. The first professor and partnership we had in the academia world was with Dr. Will Goolsbee at Auburn University. And we launched the Alabama Project, which is a four-prong research study in my home state. And Dr. Goolsbee approached us late last year. He had partnered with Dr. Marcus Lashley from the University of Florida, and they had come up with the idea of doing a podcast that explained, if you've ever read a research paper, it's not for most folks. It's certainly not for me. It's way over my head. And
yes, sir, I can relate to that.
So these guys are taking past research that's been done, and turkey's been researched for 50 years, and they're going back to that old stuff that was learned by boots on the ground doing hardcore research, and they're explaining that, and they're picking the nuggets out of these many, many research projects and trying to make it where people like me can understand it and finding out what's still applicable today. So that's called the Wild Turkey Science Podcast, and it's on Apple Podcasts and anywhere you can find podcasts. And it's been very, very successful, and Turkeys for Tomorrow decided that, hey, that's what we need. Hunters are the people who are going to pay for this. Hunters are the people who paid for having turkeys reach their heyday in the late 90s and early 2000s. And that's the same with deer and elk and pheasants and quail. When you buy a hunting license, the federal matching dollars are 3-1. And that's what allows the agencies, the state agencies, to operate at the level they do. So the podcast has been very successful. So we're proud of that. And as far as Kansas, we were approached by a group of people who informed us that the governor's one-shot turkey hunt in Kansas was going away. And a different group of guys stepped up and didn't want that to happen and asked us would we support it. And we did. So we brought in a group called the Confluence Group, and they're a promotions agency and a little bit of everything, but very connected in the outdoor industry. And we started putting support together for that. And that hunt happens the 14th and 15th of April. And it's in El Dorado, Kansas. And I'm pretty sure they're going to have 50 participants in the hunt, but that'll be youth and first responders and industry leaders. And it's all in an effort to bring awareness to the problems with turkeys in Kansas. The Kansas DNR is heavily involved, and the proceeds from that for TFT will go directly back in the Kansas DNR to help launch whatever they think is a worthwhile research project in that state.
Well, I'll tell you, Ron, I'm really proud of the tremendous work you're doing. I'm talking to my cousin Mayron down in Kellington, Alabama, and I've had Mayron on the radio show, and just talking with you, it's been a pleasure. You're getting me back to my roots in Alabama, and I know with Mayer and Quell have really disappeared down there, but he and his buddies have started, it's a hunt club, but, you know, it's not a commercial club, but they get out and they get their boots on the ground and really get some things going on. Just real briefly, and you mentioned your first turkey hunt going out. What can you tell our listeners about getting involved with turkey hunting, and how would you plan your first turkey hunt?
Well, I would try to find a mentor, and there's a lot of them today. When I was a little boy, I knew from the time I went the first time until I was through college, I knew three people who turkey hunted, and that was my dad and his two best friends. But they didn't even talk to each other during the 10-day turkey season because they didn't want them to know what they knew. And it's totally changed. Turkey hunting back in the old days was a real secretive, protective society of guys who what they knew they didn't want to share. Well, if you go back, there's a wealth of ways on internet and YouTube and all these different methods that are available to us today to learn things, but nothing takes the place of a mentor. And that's somebody who will take his time and try to show you what he knows and what's right and wrong about killing turkeys. Because there's all kinds of ways to do it, but the traditional way is to hide in plain sight and call that turkey to you. And it's not about how far, it's about how close. That's the excitement and the romance around spring turkey hunting that I was taught growing up, and that's how I still believe it should be. And there are people who will help you with that. And good news is, some of those people, if you're one of those persons who has a piece of dirt that's got turkeys on it, it's pretty easy to find somebody to help you show show you how to take advantage of that and teach you the right way. Pick me, I'll come help you.
I'll tell you, I do plan on coming up there and meeting you in El Dorado. I know you'll be grouped up with Mike Christensen, passing on outdoor manners, and we'll be sending five kids to that hunt. These kids had to apply and write a little essay, and so you'll meet them. You'll also be meeting Mark Murrow with Kansas Wildscape. These are all great guys in Kansas that are promoting the hunting, the tradition of the great outdoors in so many ways. Well, Mr. Jolly, thank you so much for being on the show and for what you do, and God bless you.
God bless you, sir, and check out turkeysfortomorrow.org.
Thank you, Ron, and nice job. Phil Totten here this morning, What's In Outdoors, and Phil is going to be back with more to talk about here on What's In Outdoors after this.
Warmer weather will be here before we know it. Is your ATV ready? Hi, this is Jenny from Express Tire and Auto. Whether you are preparing for a group ride or burning pasture, it's a good time to schedule your ATV for maintenance before the busy spring season. Avoid costly breakdowns and scheduling delays. Contact us today to book your service. Call 620-343-9994. Express Tire, your authorized Polaris dealer. Open Monday to Friday till 5:30 and Saturdays to noon.
Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply has got it.
The urge to spring clean is here, but it's not limited to just your home. Blue Stem Farm and Ranch has everything you need to give your lawn and garden a great spring cleanup. Hand tools like rakes, hoes, clippers, and pruners are aplenty. But if you need something more powerful, you'll find great DR trimmers and saws from Steel, as well as tillers from Troy-Bilt. It's time to get ready for spring and head to Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply, 2611 West Highway 50 in Emporia.
KBOE Live and local, What's In Outdoors, Phil Totten this Friday morning. And we head back to Studio North, Council Grove, Lake Phil Totten. So what's
Rob,
what's been, go ahead, Phil.
I listened in on you and Travis yesterday. You guys got quite a thing going on there on that gardening show, and especially when you talk about woodpeckers, you had my ear. I wanted to call in. I had so many good stories to tell you, and right now I've already seen four species of woodpeckers out here in Studio North. The quail haven't come in yet, but the eagles are still happening down here. Ginger took a picture of one just maybe 30 yards from our front porch. It was up in a tree eating a crappie. It sort of made me mad because this eagle done caught more crappie and bigger crappie than I have this year. But he's doing a good job. And with this wind coming out of the south, and one of the barometers that I look at to see when the purple martins will be coming in is do we have killdeer and do we have the turkey vultures in our neck of the woods? And that's one thing Travis talked about was temperature and nature's signs and a progression of birds migrating in. Well, lo and behold, yesterday morning, Roger Mel sent me a message, and he saw his first purple martin. And so I wonder if this purple martin is looking around and wondering if he might be a little bit of took too early of a flight to get here. But they will take advantage of that wind, and goodness if we had the wind. But I have been working on my chickadee boxes, bluebird boxes, and, of course, I got a box for a flicker that an owl generally gets in there, and but the martins are coming around. If the weather ever clears up, they'll be here. You do want to clean your nesting cavities out. There's been some research done on that, that it's just better for the birds. Some people think with that old nesting material in there, you're more apt to attract more birds. But no, I clean it out because the mites and things like that can overwinter in those boxes. And I have learned this year for the keystrills and wood ducks. I'm going to be setting up some wood duck houses. Even the chickadee has put some wood shavings in there. They like that a little bit better. Ron, we will be a part of the St. Pat's celebration tomorrow. I was thinking about bringing a pontoon down and hooking up a little skateboard type of deal behind it with a kid on a water toy. But, you know, when the weather comes up like it's talking about, it's going to be... I decided, well, we'll just be in a truck, and I'll do a lot of waving and smiling.
That's a good idea, Phil. Good idea.
Another sighting we had in the yard, and Ginger's getting quite good with recognizing the birds and everything, and she noticed, Phil, what was that? And what it was, just through putting some things up on Facebook and everything, it was identified as a blue morph snow goose. Ooh. And here I am, 75 years of age, and I have never seen one of those. So that was pretty cool. And even though I'm just doing radio once a month now, Ron, we do put a lot of stories up on the Watson Outdoors Facebook page and my own personal page. Walleye fishing is picking up. Now is time to get out there. The water temperature here is around 45 degrees, 45 to 50. They'll be coming up to the dam, to the rocky points, and just doing the spawning. So, a lot of people like to use a jig or even a two jigs in tandem, but I found with me, I have better luck using a crankbait or a Rapala that you can throw out and keep them out of those rocks. I'm still pretty cheap. I don't like to use loose lures, but walleye can be bought, can be caught. Ron, and I won't have a show before the April 13th Working Women, so I do want to let listeners know that you have something up online now, and I think maybe 1,500 women can apply.
You bet.
Even though I won't be at the booth like I've had in past years, I will have the booth, the Watson Outdoors booth. Well, I don't want to say whether it be man, but I'll have four ladies in there that's going to be able to talk outdoors with you. And Daphne Mays will be there talking about all the Bayrock is doing for kids and their programs. We'll have Megan Hilby there in the booth, and she is going to offer a lady a day on the range activity to teach them all about firearm safety and responsibility. We're going to have Patricia, or a member of our VAP team, Vamasay Pascar, in the booth to talk about all the programs we're doing there in Emporia. And biggie coming down would be Jessica White with Wonder Woman Outdoors. She'll be there letting the ladies know other outdoor activities she's involved in. And that's both consumptive and non-consumptive. She's just a real ambassador to getting people outdoors.
That's full booth right there.
That ought to do it for this month, Ron. You take care and hang in there.
All right. We'll be in touch, Phil. Good job. Phil Totten, What's In Outdoors, third Friday of the month here, KVOE, live and local, brought to you by Express Tire and Auto on East 12th near the Water Tower, and by Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50. If Bluestem doesn't have it, it probably is not around. Good morning. It's 8:56.
On St. Patrick's Day, the Prime Minister of Ireland is in Washington, D.C.
I am excited that we are resuming this tradition of recognizing and welcoming the Taoiseach.